Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Please be seated. Well, for thousands of years, people have been calling out, God, are you here? And today we hear the Israelites traveling across the desert with Moses, crying out for God's presence, for God's reassurance and help. Is the Lord among us or not? They cried. It's odd, and yet it's so human to hear them questioning God's presence so soon after escaping slavery in Egypt. You know, Moses, with God's help, had just performed a series of amazing miracles to get them out of Egypt. You know, we know the story of the plagues, water of the Nile into blood, sending frogs and flies and lice and making the livestock sick, and then boils, and then crops destroyed by hail, and then by locusts, and 3 days of darkness, and finally, the death of all the firstborn sons of all the Egyptians. And here we are just a short time later, no longer slaves, going to the promised land in the desert. And they ask, well, first they had just asked Jesus or asked God for, they were hungry and God sent them manna, and then that wasn't good enough, so they wanted meat, so God sent quail. And now we have them complaining about thirst and wondering if God is present. And what does God do? Well, God gives Moses an instruction to strike a rock, and water comes out of it. God tells us through this scripture that it's okay to doubt, and it's very much okay to ask. God doesn't punish the Israelites for their short-term memory. God just provides. Is God among them? Yes, God was there. And in our gospel story, God is again present and providing. In fact, God is present right in front of the Samaritan woman. And Jesus' presence with her and her acceptance of living water brought God's presence to all the people in her village. You know, the Samaritan woman doubted and questioned, and Jesus didn't punish her. He didn't ask her to do anything different. He just took her as she was, and he provided. Jesus knew all about the Samaritan woman, and he didn't judge her, even though there were cultural and religious barriers between them. You know, years before, the people of Israel broke into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And the southern kingdom was centered around Jerusalem and worshiping in the temple there. And the northern kingdom was centered up in Samaria, and they were worshiping on a different holy site, a different mountain. Well, the people of the northern kingdom were assimilated into the Assyrians during their exile, and then they intermarried and also worshiped some of the pagan gods. So the southern kingdom Jews considered them, well, they considered them unclean outsiders. So we have Jesus, a Jew of the southern kingdom, interacting with a woman. Now that is way out of the norm of culture to begin with. And then she's a Samaritan woman. She is the wrong kind of woman. And then there is the issue of the number of husbands that she's had and exactly who she's living with now. But Jesus doesn't jump to any of the conclusions that we might. In fact, he places no judgment on her at all. He just uses that information to let her know that, well, he knows some things about her that most people don't, to indicate who he is. And again, no judgment, no issue with her questioning, no problem with her doubt or anything else. She asks, he provides. Is God there? Yes, God was there with her. Now, Paul, in his letters to the believers in Rome, really helps us out to know if God is with us. He outlines a way to see God in our everyday lives. And he begins with these words: we are justified. You know, we're in good shape because we have faith. And we're now in a new relationship. So we have peace with God through Jesus. And it's through Jesus that we have access to all of God's gifts and God's love and are in God's presence. In fact, Paul says we can even boast about our health, our assured gift of sharing in God's glory. You know, and our hope is that our future destiny, our lives are joyous, even when we are suffering, because God is present. Our suffering isn't meaningless. It produces character in us so that we're more like Christ. We are more understanding and less judgmental, more interested in others than ourselves. We're quick to provide what others need, and we aren't as stingy or as selfish. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And not only do we have this amazing presence of God with us, even in the middle of our challenges and our difficult times, during our suffering and our hardship, we have God with us just as we are. God provides his love for us even while we are sinners. And if you're human, you're a sinner. This is important. God is present. God loves us even while we are sinners. And we don't have to do anything to receive God's love except to open our hearts to take it in. God is present and loves us, period. And out of thanksgiving for this kind of love, we respond by transforming into people who share God's love and our own love with others. So whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're hiding, whatever is your trial, please consider that these experiences are making you deeper and wiser, and are a part of your process to spiritual maturity. And often this isn't easy, but we aren't going through it alone. God is with us. God gives us his presence, his support, and his love because that's what God is like. Rest assured that even as a sinner, as a regular old struggling human being, even with questions and doubts, or with a very short memory of how good God has just brought into our lives, even if we aren't the right kind of person to someone else, God is present and wants us to be open to accepting God's love so we can share that love with others. Is the Lord with us or not? Yes, God is here. Amen.